Bangy Bears Podcast, we're back. This is a part two episode pre-recorded for your pleasure. So we're already one episode deep. If you're trying to keep track of when this craziness happens and you can't tell by our clothing, this is after the Frost Beer episode. We are doing an episode for poor man. Not poor as in not rich. Poor as in he pours beers.
Yes.
Which I have learned.
In Ephrata, PA.
Ephrata. It's going to be fun. We have two throwaway beers, but we have two bonus beers. That's a terrible thing. I should have throwaway beers. We have two bonus beers.
Bonus beers.
They will not be eligible.
Bonus beers to bang.
For the Covenant beer of the episode, which, you know, everybody wants. And I have a feeling poor man's taking it home today, boys.
I think so, too.
Yeah. So we have our first one here. It's a... You talk about it.
So I'm not even going to read a description because it pretty much tells itself. So this is a Pretzel Marzen brewed with Snyder's of Hanover pretzels by the Captain Lawrence Brewing Company.
All right. Well, before we get into the episode, let's thank our sponsors. Abaddon Tattoo Studio, unique professional experience nestled in the small town of Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, and their second location now in Pottsville, Pennsylvania. They provide high-quality tattoos and piercings in a relaxed, professional, and sterile environment. You can check out their links below, or you can head out. We'll tell you in a second where else you can find them. This network and podcast is powered by Poddex. Poddex are a unique interview question and interview starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're new to podcasting or an existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and get more engagement, you're going to want to check out poddex.com. Use offer code IWEP Network for 10% off your first order. That helps us out a little bit. That'd be great if you can do so. Or you can also go on their app and type in Poddex. It's like a, you can buy by the year or monthly, or you can just get by Dex, if whatever works for you. Tree of Life Shop. We are dedicated to providing a quality, metaphysical, and holistic goods to you. Not only are we an online presence, but we have a brick and mortar store located in Ringtown, Pennsylvania. We have something for everyone, so stop in, shop online, and see what you can find. Come grow with us. You can check them out all at www.iwepnetwork.com. The sponsor tabs are all there. You can click on the links, get in there, find out what they got to offer. And while you're there, please check out the rest of our shows on the network. Interviews with Everyday People, Tornado Tag Podcast, Not Cool in High School, Banging Beers, Truth Behind Illusion, Welcome Back, Higher Than Other Words, and We Like Professional Wrestling. It links you to merch pages, all social media. Leave a review. Tell us what you think of the shows. Tell us what you think. There is a microphone button in the bottom corner. You can leave voice messages. You can send us an email. Everything is super helpful. Let us know what you're thinking about what we're doing here. And also, if you're watching this now live, when it airs, help us with a share.
Oh, live?
Well, no, we're not live.
Okay.
Yeah, if you're this will be post live. Like it will go live for them. But if you're watching this now,
I'm like, oh, we're doing another live. Okay, cool.
Make sure you share it out to your friends. Let people know what you're watching. Word of mouth helps small upcomers like us go a long way. We're not the Joe Rogans of the world. We're not famous. We're not rich.
Our EP drops soon.
Our EP drops soon. I'll be doing commentary at UFC 2452, when probably people don't care about it anymore. They'll hire someone like me. But yeah, help us out with a share. It goes a long way. Let's get into the episode. Our first beer is already cracked with the Snyder pretzels. We also have pretzels at the table that we ordered from our neighbor from a fundraiser, and they're called Drinking Pretzels. They're out of...
Are they out of Pine Grove?
Pine Grove, Pennsylvania. Good call. SweetG'sBakery.com. We have a cinnamon sugar and a ranch dill pickle, or dill, I guess.
Dude, why are pretzels such a great drinking food?
They're great. The cinnamon pretzels.
I love the hard sourdough pretzels. They're so good.
Yeah. It's a good snack. It's a good snack and beer, in between beers. But yeah, let's get into the first beer. Who has the description? Let's read it off.
Snyder Beer, Pretzel Marzen from Captain Lawrence Brewing Company. It's considered a Marzen. It comes in at 5% ABV. 1.4K logins. I have 7 friends log this in. Average login is 3.66. My friends, it's a 3.8. There is no real description. It gives the flavor profile as malty, smooth, bread, salty, and fullness.
All right, the Snyder Bear.
See if I have any... Dom the Beer Bro goodies hiding in here.
Oh, that guy's a legend. I have two reviews.
No Dom.
Taylor Pasica. He was on interviews at Everyday People. He's on Untapped as well. He said, big fan. I can drink a lot of these, and gave it a 4.75. Tony L. gave it a 4.10. He didn't give a description, but said, but he tagged his buddy Brad H. to the description. Sorry, my phone went off there. So yeah, people are enjoying this. You said 1.4 thousand check-ins, right? Average of 3.66. And let's try it out. Snyder pretzel beer. So it's a Snyder pretzel beer mixed with like an Oktoberfest almost, right?
It's a Martzen brewed with the pretzels, right? That's what.
That's my take, yeah.
Man. Oh my goodness, this is fucking awesome. You don't like it? You gave me a face.
I don't not like it. I just don't taste anything besides just a standard Martzen. I mean, it's good, but I'm not getting any of the saltiness. It's from the pretzel. I'm not getting any of the pretzel flavor. It's not bad, but it's. I was expecting like that little bit of saltiness.
I wonder if it's not so much trying to bring out the flavor of the pretzel, but maybe the pretzel is like a replacement to a different ingredient to make the Martzen work.
No, I think they said this right in this description about being salt, having like a slight saltiness to it, but I don't think it does. Not like in contrast to the
it's a good Martzen though.
The Blue Moon pretzel wheat they put out, that tasted like a pretzel.
That's fair.
No, I mean, it's not bad. It's a good solid Martzen.
I'll score it not so much
Martzen
with the gimmick involved as a Martzen. It's a great Martzen.
It's a fine Martzen, nothing special.
I'm into it a lot.
I like it.
So we were talking about, you know, last episode, if you're remembering, we talked during the Frost episode, we talked a little bit about a Halloween. We talked a little bit about, it should be at the table somewhere.
It was on top of the table. Oh, there it is.
I have a Lucha Bros one too. We talked about Halloween Kills. We talked a little about 007.
So now that we're a week later, I'm going to spoil both those movies.
No. I have not seen them yet.
You've had long enough.
It was 15 minutes ago. And then talked a little bit about your trip. We'll probably dive into more of your trip in the upcoming weeks when we drink more of the beers from your trip. But this one's from Andy's trip, so we'll get into a little bit of that after we get past this other bonus beer.
This is going to be an interesting beer.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love all their beers.
I like them too.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce any of the words on it because my German is not up to snuff. But this is a smoke beer, so it's a German Rausch beer.
I thought this was a smoked Martzen.
It's a smoked Martzen. Yeah. This is straight from fucking Germany. Like, literally, the label's all in German. So, have at it.
We got to experience... Heidi, you still...
It smells like a campfire.
Heidi. You want to come in and talk the Office Festival with us? Fine, go fuck yourself. You bitch.
How was the Office Festival?
Well, you know, it was fine. I wish Heidi wasn't there. Heidi ruined the entire trip. I'm just going to keep bashing Heidi until she comes in and sits down and defends herself. The trip was amazing. Just Heidi ruined every second of it. You know, like, it was
what a bitch.
Yeah, it was, dude, she just like was punching people the whole time. Like, she would be like, we'd walk up and be like, do you like the Office? And she'd just spit on them. Yeah, it was rude. It was rude. I think a lot of people didn't like us because of Heidi. She just like didn't use the job Johnnies, would just like use the bathroom on the floor like Todd Packer in the Office. it was a good time. For their first time ever doing a festival, it was short and sweet. Like, a lot of it, I think if you went there and you didn't have a good time, is because a lot of
want to.
You didn't want to. I think you needed more of stimulation from what they were providing, where it was more or less like, hey, you're meeting people, like, go interact with people. Like, they had board games for you to play. Like, it was pretty much on you to make a lot of your experience there in between events. Yes. That's good. So it was really good. I thought they had a good job. We met a lot of really cool people. We were there for two of the 3 days. We did not go Sunday. But unfortunately, one of the main people pulled out. But It didn't make or break it for me. Like, not to meet Stanley didn't make or break it. The girl who played the stripper was there. She was super cool. The guy who played Han, the heart surgeon with a steady hand in the warehouse, was there. He was super cool. We got to have a Dundee's party, which was fun. Roosevelt Clothing Line was there, which I'm now like a huge fan of. They're super, super dope. They're giving a bunch of stuff away. I'm wearing my Stanley hat. You'll see in our photos for our promo. It was all around a real cool time. If you're a fan of The Office, follow them on social media. It's the Office Ultimate Fan Fest, I think. No, Super Fan Fest. Well, you should be on a microphone.
sorry. I don't think you're guilting her in.
Yeah. but yeah, that's pretty much it. It was really fun. Check it out if you're into The Office. But that's, and then we got to go to Cooper's. I tried a Oktoberfest while I was there. It was more of a lager, not an Oktoberfest. But Cooper's actually said that they were interested in possibly having us up for a podcast because they have a pretty big beer selection.
Yeah, they're vocabulary fault there.
That's how I feel. Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, that's I've been there several times myself. Anyone who hasn't.
It's like drinking a structure fire.
Anyone who hasn't been there before, they're a little over the top seafood restaurant. They have a lot of crazy statuary associated with the building, giant octopuses, pirates, all kinds of stuff.
The food was awesome. I mean, it could be a little on the expensive side, but the food was good. Like I spent like $30 on a crab tail, and I wasn't upset about it when I was done. Like, I was like, it was so good, you know what I mean? We got to try shark bites. It was cool. So this beer, we can't read anything about it. The description, everything is in German.
And now it's on tap. So this is a Rausch beer. It's a German beer from Bamberg, Germany.
I got it in English.
Oh, yeah, it is in English. Yeah.
So Bamberg Specialty, a dark bottom fermented smoked beer brewed with the original Schlenkerla smoke malt from the Schlenkerla maltings and tapped according to old tradition directly from a gravity-fed oak wood cask in the 14th century brewery tavern. So this is like drinking a campfire.
It has 113,300 check-ins. 11 of my friends have checked it in. It averages across the world a 3.52. Out of my 11 friends, it gets a 3.64. Let's see what we have here. Chris Maurer says, I missed this beer way too long since I had it. It's smoky deliciousness. And he gave it a 4. Jason Walton gave it a 3.75. No description. Scott Brown, smooth, then aftertaste is literally like you licked the grate of a barbecue. 2.75. Did not like it. Joseph Walton gave it a 3.75. What do we got here? Bill G. I won't read yours because you can go check yours out. Not my ideal beer, but true to form from Josh. Yeah, so it is very smoky. It's like a campfire. Definitely, I would say a sipper.
Yep,
this is a sipper. You don't try to drink a pint of this and yeah.
So I think it's neat. This is actually one of my favorite breweries. They make several smoked beers, and they make one or two that are not smoked, but. Like you said when you read the description out loud that it's a 14th century tap house that specializes in smoked beer. So like the whole, I mean, there's 600 years of
smoke. Yeah, right.
So the whole building smells like a smoked beer. Like their beer that is not smoked tastes like a smoked beer.
It's just in the environment.
Because it's over the centuries. All the smoked malt is like sucked into every surface in the building.
It's like when a house on a school county burns up and the whole block smells like this for a month. Yeah. I'm going to say this. It is, if you're not into smoke, this is just my assessment. I'm just a fucking Joe Nobody. But if you're not into smoked beers, you're probably not going to be into it. But if you're open-minded, it's smoky, but it's not overbearing. It's still very tasty. No,
it doesn't taste like meat like some smoked beers do.
Yeah.
I still get a little bit of bacony stuff
a
on
a little
the,
bit to
this,
it, but not but, as bad as some.
It's malty. I think if it wasn't a Marzen style and it was any other style with this much smokiness, I don't think I'd be into it. because that malt, the malt and the caramel and all that other stuff kind of comes out nice with the smokiness.
See, that's the thing where I think being a fan of a single malt scotch has helped appreciate this.
Yeah, absolutely.
This is fantastic. I have a bottle of this at home I didn't crack yet, so I'm going to enjoy
Who brought this?
I did.
Really?
Did
you?
Yep.
Good call, Bill.
I'm really into this. This is a great campfire beer, too. You can drink the campfire while you sit around the campfire.
Yeah, this is one you definitely sip and enjoy. I'm gonna leave my last couple sips in this and not touch it until the end and come back to it when it's like warmer, like room temperature, and see how I feel about it. All right, let's get into our poor man's. Unlike the frost beers, there's some can art here, so there's gonna be some stuff to talk about, some things to dive into when it comes to the cans. Which there's nothing wrong with. I like the frost can arts, but we have a little more to go off of here. And if you guys have any other topics or anything you want to talk about, please throw them in there. But let's get our first one down.
So we were down here 2 weeks ago. Rich and I took a Friday off. We went down to the Green Dragon, and then we went to Black Forest Brewing in Ephrata, and then to Poor Man. What I really liked about Poor Man was that there to go, you could get single cans and build your own. Like, I wish more places did that. Because, like, I don't always want to commit to a 4-pack of something. I want to try a bunch of different things to take home. And then, you know, when I come back, I'll maybe grab something. But I really like that pretty much every beer that they had in cans, you could also just put into a mixed 4-pack.
Yeah.
So the first one we have right now is, ooh, that's frothy. Turnt Up. It is a dry hop pilsner, which is right up
what?
A lot of our alleys lately. I did have this one on draft.
This is going to be a lager, 5%, has 132 check-ins. Maybe we'll help these guys out like we did last time. Yeah, one friend has checked it in, and it is not you. Rich Knapp checked it in, gave it a 3.75. Beer Busters.
Yeah, I think I posted it on the Instagram. I didn't actually log it.
Yeah, Beer Busters did not score, but they've had it. And out of 132 check-ins, let's see if anyone, what people are saying about it here. We'll go to some recent activity. no really reviews, but just 3.5s, 3.75s, 1, 2.5.
Hot person's wrong.
Yeah.
I have one friend that gave it a 4.25.
Yeah, no write up, so I can't really plug anybody when it comes to a write up.
It's a dry hop pilsner.
Yeah, dry hop pilsner. What is this place like, Andy, inside?
It's chill. It's
oh, nothing. I just drink yours. I almost did.
It's nothing special.
What the fuck are you doing?
It's in like a double building that's attached to like a Rita's. It's almost like it's kind of like strip molly, but they have a really nice outdoor seating area.
So I can send Heidi for ice cream and I can drink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they have like a nice outdoor seating area. Then inside it's nice. It's a little dark. They have like in a good way. The colors and stuff. Nothing like stands out about it, but the staff is super cool. I talked to one of their bartenders for a while. He follows us on here too now. I'll have to pull his name up so I can, because he has his own little, like, he does like a beer Instagram.
Really? Yeah, well, we'll plug him.
I'll have to go find his name. I'm sorry, buddy. I'll remember by the end of the show.
Yeah, we have a lot of beers to drink. But we're also another episode deep, so.
Yeah, but no, everyone was really cool. Talked to them about, they have a very good selection of beers. One of the ones they had, a pumpkin porter, was really good.
Okay.
I guess they have it. It's an oatmeal, or is it oatmeal stout? Oatmeal stout. And it was quite good. And then they had the pumpkin version of it was also awesome.
And how did you find this place?
Well, we went to the Green Dragon. I was like, what breweries are near us? So
you use Untappd?
Yep. So actually, no, I just Googled it.
Oh, okay.
So I Googled it. I was like, what breweries are closest by mileage? And this was like 5 minutes away. We stopped at Black Forest Brewing there before. That was a nice little place. The beers were okay. I'm not going to talk. They're okay. They weren't anything great or anything, but
there's some breweries that just do what you like. They do enough to get by, and it's not a knock to them.
Which one were you at?
God, I don't know. I didn't know there was two of them. I'll look it up.
Yeah,
but Black Forest. The food at Black Forest was fantastic, though. We had a duck poutine.
Okay. Was there any food at this place?
Yes, we just didn't order from it.
Okay.
But they had a menu that looks really solid. And then you had like Rita's right next door too if you wanted some ice cream.
What was the environment? Music, TVs?
It's standard, nothing out of the ordinary or anything.
I think that it matters. Yeah. I think some people, like, so example, like we were out last night. There was TVs on for like sports and stuff, but like there was music on, and Heather hated it because the music was too loud. It was just really loud in there. So you couldn't really have, like, you're screaming across the table to one another. But so I'm just curious when I always try to think of that bar environment. Like, because some people are just like, I want to, if I want to go sit in a bar and it's sports season, I want to be able to hear the TV. Some people are cool with background music. Some people are like, so I always try to ask that question to see what we're working with, you know?
Yeah, but no, it was a cool place. Super chill. Everyone that worked there that I talked to was super chill. I gave them a bunch of stickers. They were cool with it. And, yeah, the beers are fantastic. Everything I tried. So I had this on draft. It turns up. And then I got a flight. Rish had a raspberry goza. Was really good. But I posted that on the Instagram. And go check out my what we had there.
Cool. Did you find that guy's name yet?
No. Okay. I'll find it then once I'm done talking.
All right. Yeah, I enjoyed it. My first sip of this was I had to go for another one only because I still have that smokiness in my mouth a little bit, which it actually didn't hurt it at all because I think the flavor that this hit with that smokiness was pretty pleasant. It was nice. But I like it.
Yeah, this is nice and smooth. It's light-bodied. I get like a little fruity hints there. Absolutely no complaints about this.
And how far of a drive is it for us for this one?
An hour 20.
Hour 20.
I think that's about it.
Like doing Lancaster?
Yeah, maybe? Basically. Yeah, pretty much to Lancaster.
Okay. Bill.
I like it. Yeah, it's good. It. Yeah.
Are these available to Craft House at all?
No.
No. Has anything new come to the Craft House? I know this is pre-recorded, so by the time people hear it, it might be gone, but... Kind of give us
getting
a little...
some stuff. Pretty much most of the fall stuff we have now. By the time you're hearing this, probably most of the Christmas winter stuff will be rolling in.
You know what I want to do this Christmas? So if it comes in, try to grab it. I want to do a Flying Dog episode, but I want to do like usually the Christmas cookies. They always try to team up with a Christmas cookie brand, and they do a Christmas brand thing. Usually have a cool variety.
We can also, if I know you're not a fan of Matt Elf...
I'll try.
I have a couple. We could probably do a vertical episode of Matt Elf. Do like a new one, and then do like
I'm cool with that.
I still have that big Belgian one from like 2014.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. We could do that.
Another one of those Magnum bottles.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's like one episode is just that Magnum bottle.
We'll bring a guest on and just get them fucking destroyed. And make sure they have a ride home.
Angels Hop Ventures.
Did you follow him with our Instagram? Yep. Cool. Angels Hot Adventures. Check him out.
Angel Lopez. He's a really cool dude. We talked to him for a while. He gave Rish a lot of really good suggestions for Lancaster when she was looking to plan out her girls trip.
Was one of them Adam Cole, baby?
No.
From Lancaster?
he's not a brewer in Lancaster. So. Yeah,
but he's a great suggestion. Just go watch his matches. Love that guy. Yeah. She shut up, Heidi, in there. She's laughing.
But no, this is like...
It's like the fucking old people on the balcony at the fucking Muppet Show.
Like I said, when I got there, I'm looking at the beer list, and I'm like, all right, dry hop Pilsner, sign me the fuck up. Let's do it.
You definitely went for a style here. You went for a turnt up with a boombox, a little herb, and then we're going right into the next one here, which is the Notorious IPA. Got a little bit of a Biggie reference.
Yep, so I grabbed that one as well.
You're tugging at my heartstrings, Andy.
Well, and it wasn't so much... Well, obviously, I went with the Biggie motif, but it's a West Coast IPA. So, yes. Like, it's not a hazy boy. It's a West Coast. I have not had this one. This is one that I got specifically for the show.
Poor man. Maybe in bad taste to do a Biggie reference in a West Coast style.
That's what I also thought. I'm like, maybe that's what is the lols about it. But
yeah, because he was for people who don't know, he was murdered on the West Coast.
It was also did you watch the documentary on him on Netflix?
No,
it is insanely interesting. Like his mother was from Jamaica, and his uncle was like a big musician in Jamaica. And they would go back every year, and that's where a lot of his influence came from, was like because how his rhythm wasn't the same as everyone else. It's what he picked up when he was down there.
I'm a huge... I think...
Well, yeah, the West Coast, is that's definitely the first thing I thought. I'm like, why is a Biggie IPA a West Coast? But hey, whatever.
Yeah, I'm a big Biggie fan. I would say if I had to pick him or Pac, I'm going Biggie all day.
Yeah, I'd probably go Biggie too.
Yeah, notorious IPA. IPA, West Coast style. Brewed with the dankest and slickest hops we can find. Going back to Cali for this one. Oh, because the song, Going Back to Cali. But yeah, he went back to Cali, all right.
It didn't work out.
Did not work out very well for him.
It didn't work out for Pac either, so. Allegedly.
Well, Pac went to Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
Yeah, he was in Vegas. Yeah, was but in I'm Vegas. Just saying. Yeah,
when the big earthquake hits and California falls in the ocean, Vegas will be on.
Yo, dude, California needs to fall in the fucking ocean. You see the new shit now they're doing?
No.
Banning small gas engines so you can't have a gas lawnmower and shit.
What? I mean, I know they've been.
Oh, all those single stroke engines are the worst polluters of all. That's the thing behind that. So it's not just any one particular person with a lot. It's like 17,000 people. You know, it's.
Hey, but don't they have like worse things to worry about? Like
I would think so.
Homeless people shitting in the streets all over San Francisco.
No, that's okay.
Apparently, no one seems offended.
No
by
one
that.
Seems to be caring about that or shooting up in the streets, but or funding the you know them help.
Yeah, or like,
but let's ban the small engines
because a lot of them are just people with mental health issues that can't go for help anywhere. Yep.
But let's worry about the gas engines not helping the homeless population.
Just like priorities, right?
Yeah. Well, they said they want to, I guess they're trying that all cars in by 2035 should be electric in California.
That's never going to make it.
Which they don't have the infrastructure for it. Like they can't even keep their cities going in with power.
I mean, not only that, I don't think they make enough electric cars for to replace all the cars in California. And I'm just talking private vehicles, not even getting into commercial vehicle and municipal stuff for mass transit. I don't think they've, even in the history of manufacturing cars, I don't think they've made enough electric cars to replace all the private vehicles in California, let alone have all the infrastructure in place to keep them properly
charged
or whatever the proper word.
Weird. It's like,
but it's also to create the electricity to charge them.
Yeah.
Then on top of that, like, even if you throw Elon Musk out of the picture, what does a typical electric car go for?
They're expensive.
Yeah, I mean
they're like 40 grand.
What they seem like they need to do, and it's going to sound stupid, I guess, for me. So if it is, just ignore I said this. But like, traffic in those towns are terrible, and they don't really have like a railroad system or anything like that. No, so like,
see, but
there's a railroad. Like there's a subway in LA, but it is
what
awful.
I'm saying, like where the major highway is, mm-hmm. where you can go from, like, let's say San Diego to Anaheim or whatever, like that road we traveled it, and you're in traffic for an hour to go 5 miles.
A lot of people don't realize this, but there was a big collusion back. It started in the 30s and it went until the 50s where automobile manufacturers they did stuff to go out of their way to shut down mass transit systems so people would have to buy cars. That's why there's no more trains in most major cities anymore. That's why in places like this, there's no more buses. I don't know if you know it or not, but now this went out of business way, way before this started. But there used to be a trolley that ran all the way from Lansford to Pottsville.
I feel if they put a trolley or a train system in this area alone, just School County, where you can, like, say if this podcast ends and we have a couple beers and we're like, dude, let's go to Tamaqua and have a couple beers. And we get on a train and just went to Tamaqua and got a ride back home.
But
like,
yeah, and even that could be like an electric train.
Yeah.
Like, well, that's what to like, run. Or even like California.
But I mean, like for that, like, I mean, all that was torn up long ago. Like all the tracks for that are gone. The biggest sign that ever existed is if you ever wondered why the main square of Augsburg is so wide, that's why there's those two patches of grass. That was, one was a northbound track, one was a southbound track.
Mm-hmm. I just feel like it would work in this area.
Well, that was when they...
Oh, it did.
Yeah, well, that's funny because when they built that new intramodal transit station in fucking Pottsville for however many millions of dollars, that the whole selling point was, oh, train service to Philly and New York. Guess what never fucking happened?
Yeah, it's a shame.
Train How fucking cool would it be to go into Pottsville and grab a train down to Philly for the day?
Yeah.
Or in New York.
Mm-hmm.
Or people from New York taking a train to... And they get off and there's three breweries and all that.
Cool. And now they're slowly starting to do like some things, but it's literally like Pottsville to Reading or Pottsville.
It's like fall foliage.
Yeah, but it's not like a regular thing.
Dude, you go to Jim Thorpe, everyone, the fucking line to get on that train just to like do scenic stuff is through the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but I mean, but like what he's talking about for regular everyday passenger service.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's, Reading is like the alien outpost and that's in our neck of the woods. They don't even go to the Lehigh Valley, I don't think, anymore.
Or even those monorail shit, like trains, I think. And they go quick, just phew, like...
Well, that's what I mean.
When you're in DC, Virginia to DC, you get on that and it's like, you're fucking zooming.
That's what I mean. Like in California, if you run it along PCH, that runs the whole length of the whole state.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a train that just runs...
Yeah.
Like all the way from... San Diego all the way up north.
It would free up a lot of your cars.
Yeah.
I mean, not necessarily, but what I started talking about was like the inner city trains and bus service was intentionally destroyed by the big three auto companies. And then that was the goal behind it, was to force people to buy private cars.
Yeah.
And I need cars.
So we're back to the Notorious IPA. We went from Biggie being murdered to the problem with California all in general and the rest of the world.
To be fair, he was murdered out of a car.
Yeah. So,
it
all comes together.
Fuck you, Henry Ford.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a GM, like a Cadillac or something.
Yeah, Henry Ford was not a good dude.
I'm usually not a fan of the West Coast ones. They're a little too like piney for me. Like, but this is good. I don't mind it at all.
I really like this one.
Yeah,
I have to agree. Another good one. No complaints. That's solid for the style.
It's not like an overpowering of the piney West Coast area of it. It's super crisp. It's a nice, easy drinker.
Yeah, when I go to I lean more towards New England style IPAs.
On that, anyways,
6.6.
Yep.
Because Biggie was the devil. There's actually another 6 in there, but they just don't put the X, the tenth of a point in there, or whatever. It's a 6.66.
Craig Christ. Speaking of the devil, we just watched The Omen the other day.
I
haven't seen it in a while.
Original or remake?
Yeah, original. And I forgot how great it was. Like, it's a creepy as fuck movie from like 1976.
When my hair, I mean, it's pretty long. I could probably do it now, but I want to shave a small patch in my head and tattoo 666 on my head and just let it grow back out.
Billy has it.
Yeah. And then when I die, everyone's like, what the fuck? You're like,
I got it.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. I never even noticed that. Yeah.
The number of the beast.
This is for you, Damien.
Well, dude, it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, it's such a great movie. Like, I can't remember if I actually watched I either never saw the remake or I forgot.
I remember going to see the remake at the...
But I'm sure it's not good.
At the Fairlane Village Mall.
Compared to the original.
It came out on June 6th of 2006.
Julia Stiles is in it.
I think a Slayer album came out on that same day.
Probably.
I think Christ Illusion came out that same day.
It's very likely I saw that movie and then went into the record store and bought that.
I bought the album. I bought Slayer's God Hates Us All album the day it came out, which was September 11th, 2001.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was, they're like, well, okay, I guess I'm going to go buy Slayer. But that was funny because, like, I guess they got a bunch of shit because when that came out, I was like they could predict
they
fucking.
Knew.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
it's like, really?
And if God didn't hate us, he wouldn't have allowed that to happen. yeah. Well, that could be a little fun segue we can play with here. Now is the spooky season. It's a time that everyone wants to go and do spooky Halloween-y things. And I personally, Heidi loves going to those haunted attractions and getting the shit scared out of her. But I think the biggest thing people do is watch horror movies. Like, that's a big thing right now. So let's kind of run down some of our favorite horror movies that like our go-to or we think are the scariest ones. I want to start with Bob because I'm interested to see, like, what was your go-to scariest horror movie you've ever seen?
Scariest. When I started out, I think monster movies branched or slasher movies, I guess I should say, branched out and kind of like became their own genre and horror. They're like Godzilla, Frankenstein, and stuff like that. They're all different from slasher movies, but they're still under the broad umbrella of horror.
Yeah. Once slasher came, people were like, "Oh, those monster movies are stupid," but they still have their place.
Yep.
But like when I was a kid, the old guys in the rubber costume Godzilla movies were my go-to, man. But if you want to talk about what was the scariest one ever, I think the only time watching a movie ever made the hair stand up on my back, my arms, and everything was having a vocabulary lapse here. Give me a second. The original Pet Sematary, when the wife came back at the end and she had the knife behind her back.
Yeah.
Doesn't he make sour and she's all gross?
So,
just think about it.
That's also scary.
Yeah.
So in that movie, the sister Zelda, you remember Zelda?
I'm not sure. That was a sister
she had to go feed as a little kid, and she had
the creepy, like, zombie looking one.
And she had spina bifida. So that's actually played by a man.
Spinal meningitis,
yeah. Played by a man, and he is he's part of the theater group in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania.
Great.
We actually had him on an early episode of Interviews with Everyday People. So we interviewed the original Zelda from Pet Sematary, and he talked about how he like got that role and going through the process and meeting Stephen King. And he didn't get to meet many of the actors because when he shot his stuff, they were already gone. Yeah.
Yeah, there wasn't really anyone of note besides Herman Munster anyway.
Oh, Gage.
Don't go down that road, huh?
Yeah. The kid who played Gage is pretty popular. Oh, yeah.
I've always been more of a book person than a movie person too.
Okay.
But as far as movies go, that was the first time like a movie had actually ever had that kind of effect on me. I mean, like just talking about it again.
That's awesome. That still has that impact.
Yeah. Mine for me, I think is the one that everyone, I think most of the world would say it's in the same realm. And it's not even something I'm into when it comes to like, well, maybe it's always like what if type deal, but The Exorcist, man, The Exorcist is still to this, watching it as a kid made me super uncomfortable. Then watching it like teenager is like still makes me uncomfortable. Like I wouldn't watch it by myself. Like I wouldn't turn The Exorcist on in a room by myself and watch it.
Does it keep getting funnier each time you see it?
Yeah, it gets funnier every time I see it.
But now like when you talk about that, and we were just talking about the original Omen, I think the original Omen is a much scarier
movie than
The Exorcist.
Yeah. The thing with The Exorcist is as I got older and I watched it as I got older, like there's small things in that movie that creep me out more than with the stuff that's supposed to. Like callback things. Like when he walks in and she's growling and you hear like multiple different voices and things coming out of her. It's like, oh, how they did that is fucking clever. Or when the preacher's walking through the subway and the guy goes, "You have any spare change, father?" And the first time he ever sees Reagan with the demon inside of her, or the devil, and he opens the door and she looks at him and goes, "Got any spare change, father?" And it's just like, and it could be it's not something they focus on. It's just something she says as he walks in, and it's like a throwaway line, but in your head you're like, the devil's always watching. Like it's like a cool little, like a,
did you see when you said that just made me think of another one, the with with Denzel Washington, where the guy all he needed was another body close enough to jump to. Whoever his thing was, whoever he was inhabiting, he would sing old Rolling Stones.
Yeah, it was
songs.
The Rolling Stones song. Fucking
Time Is on My Side.
Yeah, what the hell is that? I want to say The Bone Collector.
That keeps popping in my head too, but I don't
it's
think that's it.
It's not the Bone Collector.
No.
Oh, I gotta look it up. That is a good one though too. Shit.
Well,
Bone Collector's more of like a serial killer type.
Well, they're thinking mine is definitely Fire in the Sky.
Really?
The alien one. I don't know why. It was just being young. I was really into aliens, and I watched that movie, and it would just scare me every time.
I think that's where.
And I think still, yeah. And I think still now, like I watch it, and like
I've never seen it.
There's points that bother me. Like
I've never seen that one.
It's based off a true story.
Fallen.
These loggers, in New Mexico, like the one guy goes missing, and they see all these lights. And then it's like he comes back, and then it shows like all
So I actually
flashbacks of him being abducted, and there's one scene he's under the table, and someone knocks the ketchup over, and it runs off the edge and drips, and he remembers being in this fluid stuff, and them like,
yeah. So I actually, it's funny you said, I didn't know they made a movie based off that. So I listened to this podcast called
the '90s
Kryptonaut Podcast, and they talked about that story.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was kind of like this rugged, rough, badass badass of this thing. So they were logging and they seen the lights and they ran to the lights and he got out of the car and he got like shot back, and then they were like, he's dead, we're out of here, and left, and then went back for his body. Like they're like, we have to go back. And his body was gone, and so were the lights. And so they were getting framed, like they were not framed, but they were getting accused for his murder. And this is all based on true stories. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he just showed back up in the middle of nowhere, like 2 weeks later, and he's like, "I was abducted by aliens." And they're like, "All right, well, we can't charge your buddies with we can't charge anybody with anything." Yeah. Like,
no, you're clearly not murdered.
Yeah,
it's just I don't know what it was about that movie. It just
I have to watch it now because I listen to a whole podcast based on that story. Because with Truth Behind Illusion, that's the only show that I have to really dive in and do my research because I don't know much about it. But that was a cool story. I didn't know that. Yeah, that's dope. Yeah.
You guys remember one called the Horror Express?
Mm-mm. That one I don't know. No.
It had to be the late 60s, but it was a Christopher Lee movie where he was he's a archaeologist, and he discovers like a early hominid fossil that's encased in ice, and he goes to bring it back home on the Siberian Express or the Orient Express, whatever it is that goes all the way across. And he's like so far out, he's like in China. And it thaws out and comes back to life and starts whacking people on the train.
Sounds like a cool premise.
Yep. Yeah. Nice.
What's that called? The Horror Express.
Yeah.
Hadi, are you still in there? Yeah. Write that down. She's probably just jotting all these down.
I've been really into going back and watching older movies now. Like, I know I've seen them. Like, we watched American Werewolf in London last night, and I forgot how fucking good that movie
is.
That
was a good one, yeah.
And how good the effects are for 1981.
Like, the full transformation.
Yeah,
where
like,
he fully transforms.
So good. And now, today, it would be shit CGI. Just like The Thing. We just watched The Thing again recently.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of probably my top favorite sci-fi horror movies of all time.
Yep.
And it's all practical.
Mm-hmm.
Which version of The Thing?
The John Carpenter Thing.
So on Shudder, Nikolai watched this one movie where
I forgot about that.
And it was like a dot, and transforms into a demon, and he said it's all done like the cool thing about Shudder is they go back and they make these movies, but a lot of these lower independent people are fans of old school, so they use practical effects because they can't afford CGI.
Yeah.
So a lot of these Shudder movies are like, they would be considered B-rated, but they're done like in a form. Yeah. They're so good.
It's so cool, like seeing how everything was done. Like, I just saw the new season of The Movies That Made Us on Netflix just came out, and
I wanted to start watching that. The Hollow Halloween.
I'd rather not spend the rest of this winter tied to this fucking couch.
Yes, exactly. It's so good. The Thing is so fucking Kurt Russell. You can't go wrong, Kurt Russell. But there's an episode on aliens in the new.
The Movies That Made Us.
Yeah. And they basically go about how they went and created the queen. They built like this animatronic queen that took like 6 guys to operate. And like they used like black trash bags, like they did to test everything out to make it look. And so I guess the guys that did that keep calling it like the trash bag test now. But like just shit they're doing in a fucking vacant lot in fucking Hollywood to put together to how are we going to have this fucking 20-foot tall alien queen fight Ripley.
Yeah.
And then apparently a lot of the stuff they did was just like Little Shop of Horrors, and which was also filming on a lot next to them in England.
That's crazy.
So Sigourney Weaver would go to like her and Rick Moranis would have like a Ghostbusters reunion and kind of talk to each other about how they're doing it. Cause like to sync Audrey up to the music, they had to film it in like slow motion. So Rick Moranis had to like move slow. So when you sped the film up, it looked like it was on time with the music.
Oh my God.
So Ripley, Sigourney Weaver had to do that shit with the Alien Queen too. So it looked real. So like they had to do so much shit in slow motion, and just to see how that works is so fucking cool.
We
now they would just be garbage CGI.
Yeah, we actually had a movie night maybe a couple months ago at your place, and we watched Little Shop of Horrors. Yeah. I love that movie. Yeah, it's a good tune.
If you want to talk about really the first movie that comes to mind for me for like orchestrating all that stuff to make it match the music is not that it's a horror movie, but if you ever seen Disney's Fantasia.
Oh yeah.
And to do all the work, that's all
individual like
hand cells that.
Yeah. Dude, that animation is so insane.
Yeah, I forget when they stopped like, doing it. Like Jungle Book was done like that. Snow White was done. It was like a flip book.
Like I get that CGI makes it easier, but it loses the art, I think. So, like I don't really like Disney movies anymore since it's been CGI. Like they're okay.
But that was like in the earlier days too. Like the critics used to like the Flintstones and Hanna-Barbera ruining animation because they're. Because they made it affordable.
Yeah.
Basically what it did is, and you know, the generic backgrounds and it changed the way the whole industry operated.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, even if you look at the early days of South Park, like how they animated. Yeah,
it was cardboard construction cutouts. Yeah. It was like basically stop motion.
Yeah, that's all it was. But it's like, so they did it a way that they couldn't afford to do it. And then now look at them.
Yeah, but they're still changing the game with hard work because they're putting out episodes within a 7-day window, which is
I don't know if they're doing that anymore. Though, I think now it's not topical anymore.
Yeah,
well, I think
like
they
it's generally
the topical,
but it's not like it used to be.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, I think because of the whole because they had a pivot.
Yeah,
because they couldn't all work in the same studio at the same time, so they had a.
They
kind of do the special,
and you get to tell it's honestly suffered.
Yeah,
what is some of your like your like because we talked about earlier how like horror back in the day was monsters, and then it turned into like demons were a big thing, like the poltergeist, and like we're ghosts and the devil can get you, and that was like the scary. Then it went to slashers, then it was like extraterrestrial alien, and everything has its place in horror. So some people are like that horror movie sucked. But only because that's not the style of horror that scares. There's always something for everyone that scares you.
I'm thinking we moved on to the slow burn area, like the more psychological with like Hereditary, Midsommar.
Like real life scare is scary.
Like those kinds of things. Where it's
I don't
like,
think Midsommar was scary at all.
I just I found it,
creepy.
I found it unsettling.
It was unsettling. I wouldn't call it a horror movie.
It's more of like. It's unsettling because of how bright and colorful it is, and you're not used to that style of movie being that bright and colorful.
I get like a lot of the subtext and whatnot to Midsommar, but ultimately it's a fucking Wicker Man remake.
Sure.
What was the vampire one where they were like the Vatican's authorized vampire hit squad? One of the Baldwin brothers was in it.
That's kind of what Van Helsing's kind of like, too.
But this was modern.
Yeah. No, the modern Van Helsing. Hugh Jackman was kind of like.
I know
that.
The one you're like.
I'm just gonna type in Baldwin.
Like, is it? Because there was one with Willem Dafoe and them.
I think it was just John Carpenter's Vampires. I think it was just called.
Oh, I think that is it actually. Yeah.
But what was the one?
Or Near Dark, maybe.
There was that one day. Was it Daybreakers? Where they?
I think it was just called. It was John Carpenter's Vampires.
Well, there was that movie Daybreakers or something where they would drive around and black out their windows so they can still do vampire shit during the day. Like,
yeah, it was just called Vampires.
Yeah, what was I going to say? But yeah, I mean, yeah, there's so many the different genres of what, but I think the one that affected me the most, like anymore, I'm desensitized to it, but as a kid and seeing all the shit and the 1990 Night of the Living Dead fucked me up.
Zombies.
Yes. And Friday the 13th when I was a kid. Because until I swear I was like 13, like I'd be kind of, if I was swimming in a lake, I'd be kind of weird about it.
The one that got me also was the Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That one. Like,
so like
the end is just like.
So a paranormal slasher didn't get me. Like Jason didn't get me. Freddy didn't get me. Like, oh, you go to sleep, he's gonna get you. Like, all right, whatever. Like that didn't get me as a kid. The Exorcist got me because growing up Catholic is like that. But honestly, in the first slasher that scared the fuck out of me, because I'm like, oh, this could legit happen. And it's still to this day, I think my favorite horror movie is Scream because it was like that's just a psychopath who. is manipulating the system and finding ways to murder.
And it's also
people.
Topical because the new trailer just came out.
Yeah. I'm gonna
Scream 5.
I think
Flash,
Halloween.
Just Scream.
Like the original Halloween. Myers is not supernatural.
Yeah.
And that's what sucked about the fucking Rob Zombie remake and shit is they took everything scary away from Michael Myers. Like, mm-hmm. Michael Myers was a six-year-old boy that randomly murdered his sister and never spoke again, broke out, and then started killing people mm-hmm. in his old neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, for no fucking reason. Once you start adding in stupid white trash abusive backstory and try to build empathy for Michael Myers is where Rob Zombie was fucking wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not supposed to feel good for Michael Myers.
Mm-hmm.
And then definitely Halloween Kills, no.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
do not feel empathy for Michael Myers.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say for me, the perfect horror movie is the original Halloween and Scream.
Scream is definitely up
because
there.
It's not just a horror movie. It's also a whodunit because the whole time you're like if you watch that your very first time, you're fucking lying if you think you knew who the killer was. Like,
there's no way you knew who.
Yeah.
Was.
And if you finally figured out maybe one of them or you're suspecting of one of the whole time, you definitely didn't know there was two. Yeah, 100%.
The trailer doesn't make me excited, though.
I'm pumped for it.
The first time I watched it, I was like, oh, yeah, awesome. And then I watched it again. I'm like, I don't know.
I never watched it, but Heidi said the show was pretty good.
The show was pretty good. I think I watched the first season, and I think half of the second, and then just it was something I never finished. Like, not because it wasn't good. It's just,
yeah,
I forgot so much about going it.
But, yeah. I don't know what with Back to the Night of the Living Dead for the 90 version, which I think is superior to the original.
And I will die on Patricia that. Tallman.
Yes. Basically, they make Barbara into a badass instead of a catatonic damsel in distress. One. Tony Todd is Ben. He's still fucking awesome because he's mm-hmm. Tony Todd. And Ben was awesome in the first one.
Yep.
And then, but like the eyes, for when I was little, when you fucked with eyes, it fucked me up for some reason. I don't know why.
Oh, it's like eyes in the shot.
So like the cloudy eyes and the zombies, the light up eyes and fucking the animals in Pet Sematary.
What about Reagan's eyes?
See, that didn't bother me as much because I think I saw that. I wasn't like six when I saw the
episode. That scene where she's looking and the Cardinals coming into the house is a fucking scary scene.
There's one thing I'll tell you off mic, Andy, that completely takes me out of The Exorcist.
Which one?
No, the original. There's just a...
the crucifixion scene?
No. It's nothing related to the movie as a whole. It's just...
Okay.
Something else.
But
I'm not prying, but is it something that you're afraid to say on the camera or is it like
I don't think it's on camera necessary.
Okay. Now I'm curious what it,
well, I'll see.
He'll tell us afterwards.
They'll tell you after. It's not like I'm going to take Andy away into a secret room
and
whisper it to him. But and then now the listeners nobody like, else
what
will
was
know.
He talking
but
about?
While we've been talking about this, we're going to go back to this horror stuff because it's spooky month and I've been really into watching. My goal has been to watch a new something horror every single day for the month.
Do you have Shudder?
Yes.
Okay.
So Interstate 272 is Common Road is a double IPA. Another fucking solid double IPA.
Yeah, it's I was drinking it the whole time we were talking. Yeah. I really enjoyed it.
More of a double, West Coast style double. Also fantastic. But everything from Poor Man has been great.
Yeah, no complaints here either.
But yeah, I've been making a goal to go back to seeing movies I haven't seen in a long time. Or like, Rich never saw American Werewolf in London, so we watched that last night.
While we're bullshitting, we're gonna crack open this Robin Hood looking Pac-Man beer. This is the it's not Robin Hood. It's just a German Pac-Man beer. But Munchie. Sorry, I'm Munchie. Oh, good. That makes sense. I'm dumb. We're also two episodes in, but. We'll pour this one out here. We'll read the description and we'll get back to our horror talk. I hope you guys are enjoying this where it's not so much like trying to pretend we know beer and stretching out an hour into a show of beer and talking about topographical stuff we're into. If you're into it, give us feedback. If you want us to go back to what we're doing where we just say, here's a beer, here's our score, see you later, see you next week, let us know. Tell us what you
Tuesday.
Think. Yeah, see you next Tuesday.
See you next Wednesday.
Yeah. And let us know. Feedback is super helpful. If you made it this far and you're listening and you enjoy it, it takes nothing to just leave a comment on social media to let us know what you think. Just please.
Especially in the community, like I've been trying to drive people to participate, but just no one does. So
yeah, it's tough. And
we have over 1,000 people in the group, and like the same three people post.
So here's what I get a lot of. This is what I get more than anything in the world is I get people who say, and I get it. People are busy. People have lives. It's hard to dedicate an hour to listen to a podcast, especially if you're not like, for me, I like listen to it on the way to work and the way home. That's how I consume most of my podcasts. But a lot of people are like, hey man, I see what you're doing. I see your activity on social media. I'm proud of you. You're doing a great job. You're killing it. But I just don't have time or I don't go click on to watch it. And that's fine. I'm not saying you have to. But if you share it out, there are people who consume media this way and it helps us.
Like I've found lately, like I started listening to more podcasts on my drive just because I'm so like, there's no music I want to listen to right now.
And listen to podcasts, honestly, is like, oh man, that would be cool if we maybe tried that on our show. Or it helps you, it honestly helps you develop conversation but better.
When I'm doing shit at work now in my office, like I'll just throw one of my earbuds in and listen to something.
Yeah.
Like it's something when I don't have to focus, I'm just doing like whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I don't need to like I'm reading resumes or something. I don't need to like be actively using my brain. So I'll be listen to a podcast.
Yeah. So that feedback is, it may seem small and it seems like, oh, like, but it truly helps, especially when you're recording and you put something out and you hear nothing about it. You know, it's like, did we suck? Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah. Tell us if we suck too. Like, we like to know that. It's like when you're get trouble at work, it's like, it sucks, but like, oh shit, I was doing that wrong the whole time.
Exactly. So tell us, we're trying to change things up to engage more engagement. So if us drinking beers and talking horror movies, or us drinking beers and talking about, you know, what a brew, because like we want to also still focus on the breweries, and we're going to get back to talking about this place, but just like, we're just trying anything, like, because we don't have the access to just like get four people on the same schedule to go out to a place and record every weekend. And we're not trying to base every single episode we do on a guest, because a lot of people, that's all podcasts are. Yep. If they don't have a guest, they don't have an episode. So we're trying to develop being a team. And if a guest comes, cool. You know what I mean? And if you are a brewery and we are reviewing your stuff, reach out. We can do you on Zoom. We can come to you. Like, we'll have some fun here. So,
but like I said, it's spooky month. And going back, like I said, just back to what I was saying about older, like the older horror movies, just so much better. Like there's not a lot of new ones that I love. Like Insidious was cool. The sequels are terrible. Paranormal Activity is a great idea.
Insidious 2, I just enjoyed because of the way that it brought that, like it explained things that happened in 1.
Yeah, but I kind of like that. Just it ends, and I don't need more of it.
I enjoyed Malignant.
Malignant was fucking terrible.
I enjoyed it for what it was, and the more that I read into it, that the Gabriel person was not CGI. It was an actual person that was like actually doing all of that.
That's
I appreciated it more that he didn't just like cheat and be like, oh, I could do this on a computer.
Yeah.
Like
that was like, fine, but
he physically wanted somebody to.
I did not like
Malignant. Quick, this munchie. This tastes more like a pretzel than the Snyder pretzel one does.
Yeah, it does, honestly.
I get a lot of pretzel out of
this. This is a very good Marzen. I like this one too a lot.
It's not so much that caramely malt, it's more of that bready.
See, I get a lot of bready on the finish. I definitely get some caramel and malt.
Yeah, I'm getting the caramel in the front and then the bready. Bready finish.
Is on the finish, absolutely.
But no, like I said, every single beer that I had there. Yeah, let me pull.
Yeah, the caramel is on the front. Exactly, yeah, but it ends very bready in that, and almost like maybe it's just my brain tricking me, but I'm almost getting that bready, salty, like you are eating a pretzel almost. I like it. I like it a lot.
Let me. I'll tell you what I had while I was there, real quick. So I had, like I said, I had the Turnt Up, and Rish had the Raspberry Goza, which was very good. So the flight I had was. A Pilsner Party, it was called. It was just another Pilsner. It was fantastic. I had the Oats and Hose Pumpkin Stout.
Oats and Hose.
Oats and Hose Pumpkin Stout. That was also very good. So it was an oatmeal stout. And it wasn't overspiced. It was just the right amount of pumpkin. I had the Black Market Black IPA, which I'm very glad to see Black IPA starting to make a comeback again, because I really like Black IPAs. They keep that hoppiness of it, but there's still that like that roasty and that darkness of like some stouty, which means you won't like it.
I hate it. I would hate it.
And then I had the munchie, but everything I had there was fantastic.
Yeah. So this munchie, 105 check-ins, averages a 3.94. One friend checked it in, gave it a 3.90. Maybe somebody at this table. German style feast lager, notes of toasted malts and caramel. Prost to munchie.
Prost.
So we'll kind of I'll kind of run through recent activity here and see what we get. 3, 4. Here we go. We have a write up here from Jen. Jen on Untappd. It just says Jen. I don't know her full name, but how can you not love a beer that has Pac-Man on a can? Very drinkable, lovely beer, especially in Oktoberfest land. Goes down smooth. Two thumbs up. What else we got here? Good fest beer, malty flavor, but not overpowering.
It's very light too.
Yeah, it's an easy drink. It's if I went to a like an Oktoberfest and I had to like walk around all day and drink beer and talk and socialize, I would go to this one because it almost drinks like it's like a lighter version of an Oktoberfest. I think it's one of those things where like when people like for us, we see a lager and we think of the amber lager, we think of Yingling, and then when you see an Oktoberfest, you think of like this. And then you get poured this, and you're like, well, that's not an Oktoberfest. That looks like a lager. Like, it's like, no, there's different styles. There's different things. But this is good. This is my favorite time of the year, the October. Spooky season and Oktoberfest. It all comes so together. Good. It's so great. But all right, well, let's dive back into our topic here. Have
any of you watched Midnight Mass yet?
I've been slow watching it.
Only if we had someone who would sit on a microphone and talk to us about this, huh?
If only.
Yeah.
If only they weren't just in the other room.
I fucking loved it.
I'm enjoying it so far.
I won't spoil anything of it because it's different. The twists and stuff are a lot different. I called one thing. I'm like, I think I knew what's going on, but I didn't know why.
Yeah.
And then when they bring it into it, it completely threw its a spin on something classic, and I really like it.
That's kind of why I've been slow burning it and didn't just do the usual.
I couldn't stop. I'm like, I don't know what happens. It's only seven episodes.
I feel the same way, but I'm like, I kind of want to do like one episode a week and let it sit. Like
it was definitely better.
So this is a Netflix series, and
it was definitely
about
better than Haunting of Bly Manor.
Yeah, that was
fucking boring as shit.
It was boring.
I loved Haunted Hill House, but Bly Manor was fucking boring.
I didn't hate Bly Manor, but yes, it was boring. It was
I
lot
stopped,
more
like,
and slower pace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because it's funny because, so to try not to spoil it because it's all still fresh. So the new season of American Horror Story, which I also fucking usually hate, and Midnight Mass. So they have a very similar theme. However, American Horror Story is how you do it shittily, but still entertaining. But Midnight Mass is really, really fucking good.
Yeah, that was my question. Are you looking forward? Now we have like a competition in the game where American Horror Story for a couple of years now has been like the go-to horror series, and then every season they change.
Every single season, except
I think,
for two of them.
I think what American Horror Story
what
does,
you watch.
Does wrong.
No, I stopped.
I think what they do wrong is
I give up an episode or two in.
They write the first half of the season, and then they start to film, and then they write the second half. So they get too far ahead of themselves and realize we have three episodes to wrap up this
entire
story.
So that's actually what I like about this season of American Horror Story is that the story I'm talking about ends at episode 7. And then there's a completely brand new story for the other half of the season.
I didn't finish the first half of the season.
And I gave up two episodes into the second half. I fucking hated it already. Mm. But 1984, I'm like, oh, maybe this will be... I go into every season of American Horror Story, maybe this will be cool. And then it falls completely apart somewhere in it. Like 1984, I'm like, oh, great. This is going to be like a callback camp slasher. And it is for like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
It's and then they make Richard Ramirez fucking supernatural and shit and attractive. I'm like, he's an ugly motherfucker.
It's like, which are your favorite American Horror Story season?
Season one. The last episode.
I liked until I figured out what was going on, and then I didn't like it anymore, which is probably halfway through.
When they Beetlejuiced the last episode, they lost me.
But it was still okay. Season two, I did not like at all. Season three, the witch, I like Coven, the witch one. Yeah. That's the only one I like all the way through.
I think Heidi liked the Freak Show one a lot, too.
I liked Freak Show until, like,
episode
the first
two.
half of Freak Show was cool.
That's what I mean. Like, they have so much time to write the first half of the season, And then they stop writing and start to film.
Wing it.
Like and the then, twisty and stuff then was
they
cool.
And then they start to do the they start to write the second half while they're filming the first half.
Yeah, like.
And they get too far ahead of themselves.
Tomorrow? Yeah, it's like, oh, shit, fuck.
Yeah, it's like, oh, shit, we have two episodes left. We have to wrap everything up. And they cram everything into the last
kind of like Game of Thrones did, right?
Sure.
We're not
sure.
But yeah, I have thoughts on that too.
I could never get into it.
But to be completely honest. The freak show one was cool up until like the twisty stuff they added in because it was a lot of homages to Halloween and stuff like that. And then the dandy character was basically Patrick Bateman.
Yep.
And then they had like the Edward Mordrake mythos in it, which was really cool. But then it just completely, they kill Twisty and then it completely falls apart and they add fucking Doogie Howser in as a ventriloquist and it was fucking terrible. Or he's a magician, one of those.
Magician, but yes.
Totally different horror tangent. Have any of you ever seen Bubba Ho-Tep?
Yes!
Yes.
Fucking so good.
Anything
Bruce Campbell does is amazing.
I'm so angry they never made, they were supposed to be a Bubba Nosferatu and they never did it.
Aren't they supposed to be doing a Nosferatu, like they're rebooting Nosferatu? Like they want to bring that style back?
I honestly, if it's silent, I'm all on board. But if they try to do like...
The only thing is, please people, don't research Nosferatu because PC cancel culture will shut that down. Yeah, well,
if you go research any of the classic monster movies, you'll fucking PC cancel culture will shut
I was
down.
Actually,
Nosferatu
I was actually,
is literally supposed to be a Jew.
Like a Jewish
man with a long nose and the finger. Like literally how Borat makes a joke of
the Jew with the big fingers.
That's Nosferatu.
You'll never get me.
Yeah.
I was going to bring one of those today too, but I decided not to. A Nosferatu from Great
Lakes. If you get that back
in
from the cans, can you save me a 4-pack?
I doubt we will, but I have one can left. So.
Yeah, I completely forgot that they came out in 16-ounce cans. Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nosferatu's good. But, yeah, I just... American Horror... Roanoke was okay because it was different than the rest of the season.
I did enjoy that they did the pivot halfway through, basically.
And it was okay, but every other season, like, I go to, I'm like the Apocalypse, it just was softcore fucking bondage porn the second episode in.
I loved the hotel.
Hotel shit after Lady Gaga was naked.
Then that was done.
It was the
foursome scene?
Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome. I was like,
but
I'm done.
I'm like, it's just softcore porn on TV, but the story sucks.
Yeah.
Like, I can go watch 80 slashers and see actual boobs.
I'm a Lady Gaga.
I love Lady Gaga.
The foursome scene was awesome.
But, like, the story just fucking dumb. It was like,
I wouldn't even be upset if I was having a couple swap with Lady Gaga and she cut my throat with a knife finger. I'd be like, take me.
But like just,
I died happy.
But like what I did like their formula for this season, that the first half of it, although I think it could have used an extra two episodes, I think. But Midnight Mass was fantastic and a definite spin on a classic horror idea.
Yeah. Well, Let's wrap up hard talk there. If you're in the comments, or you're watching, or you're chatting, head over to one of our social medias. Head over to our website, IWEP Network. Tell us what your favorite horror movie franchise is. Tell if we got it right. Tell if we got it wrong. All that.
We didn't even talk franchises. Oh, Jesus. We need another hour
now. Yes.
Well, that's just say your favorite. Maybe that's to be a future episode that we talk franchises again. But let's get into our beer of the night. Snyder's, unfortunately, your Snyder beer. You don't count. This is all poor man. Beer of the night. I'm gonna be honest here.
I'm torn.
Yeah,
I'm going Munchy.
I think I'm gonna go Munchy as well.
I'm jumping ship.
You're going Notorious IPA.
I'll go Munchy.
Munchy.
I'm sorry, Bob.
Notorious is my number two.
yeah,
same here.
Yep.
And then Turned Up's my number three.
I would actually go Interstate.
Really?
Over. Yeah. I know. Understand. We didn't talk about it a lot because it was mid conversation. But as we were as I was drinking that while doing the conversation, I really enjoyed it.
All these beers are amazing. Like
they're
this
all
place
good.
Is awesome. I can't wait to go back.
So where are we at? Are we tied here? 1-1. Where do you go here?
Turned up
or Interstate?
Turned up.
Turned up, Bob. Turned up. All right. Turned up takes third. So first place Munchy, second place Notorious IPA, third place Turned Up for what? Can Art of the Night, Munchy. I mean, Notorious wins. I don't care. None of you have a vote.
I'm going to go Turned Up because it's a boombox.
Yeah, but it's a Notorious B.I.G. crown.
Yeah. But no, I mean, Poor Man's fantastic. Everyone there was super cool. They seemed open to doing something. They were really appreciative of giving the stickers. So We'll have to reach out to them, see what they
want. Yeah, if you guys watch this after we post it, check it out.
Yeah,
please.
Us know. We'd love to come down and visit.
Yeah, we'll drive over. I will say this. I came back to this after it's been warmed up. It's still fucking amazing. The campfire beer.
Oh, you like it? Mm-hmm. I thought you went the other way on that.
No, I like it.
No, it's fantastic. I can't wait to drink the bottle I have at home.
Yeah.
It's even more like bacon now.
Yeah.
It's got that, yeah.
It has a little more of a meaty. Yeah. When it warms up, it has
but
more.
But it's not a bad meaty.
No.
No, not at all. Bob, what do you got to plug? Or a movie recommendation.
Movie recommendation. Well,
you already got me with that train one.
So I've only seen one fairly recent movie. Has anyone seen Nobody?
No,
I haven't watched it yet.
Well, there you go. There's my recommendation.
It's on the list though.
Yeah. What's the premise? Or do you have a book, anything? Like I said, you like to read. Do you like when you read, do you read like everything or what's your go-to?
When I read, it's a split. It's probably half science fiction for the most part. There's a little bit of fantasy, some Westerns in there, historical fiction, and then real history, archaeology, stuff like that. Give me for the next one. I'll go through the stash or come up with some
awesome,
sweet. Record. That'd be
like,
awesome.
Real quick, just like without going too deep into it. Like growing up, like were you a science fiction guy? Because you're giving me a little like Star Wars vibes, Star Trek vibes, Indiana Jones vibes. Like what you're reading stuff. Like I'm just trying to translate it to pop culture and movie for people who don't.
I'm trying to think. How old was I when I think I was 8 when the original Star Wars was released. I'm a big fan of the original trilogy, and to a degree, the second trilogy. Not so much a big fan of the last trilogy.
I think we just found a home place for our Star Wars episode. It doesn't have to be not cool in high school.
No,
this is
it's here.
But some of the things that just kill me about that, though, is like a... like all the work they put into the background for the Star Wars universe, and so many projects that went on in that, and then like they just like oh retcon, mm-hmm.
the
like what I mean that's like 40 years worth of work they just flushed down the toilet.
More I think about the sequel trilogy, the more I get mad about it.
Well, the fun thing is if you the listener like it, obviously the beers are involved. This is not cool in high school with beers.
There's
on my arm. Yeah.
As a youngster there, I was a big Battlestar Galactica fan.
That was always a classic too.
Oh, geez, what else? I'm not a big TV watcher anymore.
Yeah.
I always enjoyed the Lord of the Rings books. I think they did a fairly decent job with the movies.
Not only is Bob fitting this one with our nerdism, but he's fitting in with a beard, everything. This is this show has a fun. We just opened a new chapter to the Bangin' Beers series.
Yeah, like it's the ultimate crossover show.
You talk about the Star Trek too. Now, when I was young, the original series was in syndication, and you know, for a long time, that was like the only real science fiction show out there.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to be that age and not be a fan of the show if you had any real interest in science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a while, but I kind of warmed up to the Next Generation cast. And I know a little bit about the ones with the...
The new ones,
Deep Space Nine.
That's what I'm thinking of.
And then anything after that, I'm not really up to speed on.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's
we're gonna be coming to show us like what beers are bringing and what are we talking about?
Yeah,
I think this is fun.
Branch out and do it and talk about it. Like
a fucking whole
Lord of Rings. Fuck yes,
dude. Like before we started recording and like how you were chiming in with the James Bond stuff and the books. I'm like,
yeah,
I didn't know you were into any of that stuff. I was just like, I didn't want to be like, fuck, I feel bad. We're talking about wrestling and he's not a wrestling guy. Or we're talking. But now we're like learning more about what you're into. Like fuck, we can make a whole episode. Like hey, we have beers. Like, we're gonna talk about
Bond.
See, but like now that's another one too. Where like I haven't seen all the James Bond movies.
Yeah.
There was a period of my life there where I just like I I got too much going on.
Yeah, just talk about what you know, and if the like for me, after having this conversation, like there's three or four things now that are on my list I want to go watch because we had a conversation about it. And I think that's the fun part. Like,
the Horror Express sounds cool.
Maybe that'd be something we could do is, you know, like a Bond weekend or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like have a marathon.
Yeah.
I have them all.
Dude, the fucking, yes, so do I. The fucking movie he said, Horror Express, is like the thing on a train.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it sounds awesome.
It sounds great. Yeah.
And Christopher Lee's in it. You can't go fucking wrong with Christopher Lee.
Yeah. Oh, Christopher Lee and, Star Wars, Grand Moff.
Oh, I can't think of his name. Grand Moff Tarkin.
Holy shit, Andy. You're letting your people down right now.
I can't think of his name. He was a doctor in Doctor Who, too. Grand Moff Tarkin's name. His actor name.
His real name.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, his real name. Jesus, his real name. Hold on.
Well, while you're pulling up, Bob, what do you, Bill, what do you have to plug? Our recommendation.
For a movie, since we brought up Insidious,
Peter Cushing,
etc. I'm gonna say Dead Silence is a, I don't want to say a forgotten James Wan movie, but that I think is solid, like a solid standalone.
Wait, what?
Dead Silence.
As a James Bond?
Oh no,
James Wan.
Yeah, James Wan.
That's like, the puppet,
yes,
right?
Yes, Dead Silence. I was like, Dead Silence. James Bond. I'm like, wait,
also,
hold on. What?
is also one that.
Yeah, Dead Silence is okay.
Yeah, that also I remember seeing and creeping me out a little, just because like the ventriloquist like aspect of it. Like the more doll stuff. Like,
what was the movie Eli Roth did with the gypsy lady? I'm sorry if that's offensive, but the and then like she dies and she's haunted. She's like possessing her.
Oh, that was
it's something hell.
That like, was Drag Me to Hell.
That was Sam Raimi. That's my recommendation. Yeah. Drag Me to Hell. I fucking love it. Where she's like puking in her mouth.
Yep.
Good movie. What do you got, Andy?
Mine is go back, watch American Werewolf in London.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Nice. Well, listen.
And if you're listening to this, I'm assuming this is going to air on Halloween Day.
Yeah.
So I hope you came out to our show last night.
Yeah.
Well, it was a good show.
You killed it. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Good job.
but listen, thank you guys so much for hanging out. Check out the IWEP Network, www.iwepnetwork.com. Leave a review, buy a t-shirt, show us some love. Make sure you check out that Patreon. I know I didn't do it at the top of the show. I'll do it real quick now. Our Patreon subscribers are Austin Blackwell, Tommy B, the Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop, Hyreth, in other words, J Horror. If there's $1, $5, if you want to do $2, anything in between, go for it. It helps us pay some bills and cover some stuff. And then also we have our sponsors we want to thank. Pulling them up right now. Tree of Life Metaphysical Shop is a dedicated, they are dedicated to providing a quality metaphysical holistic goods to you. Not only do they have an online presence, but they have a brick and mortar shop located in Ringtown, Pennsylvania. They have something for everybody. So stop in, shop online, and see what you can find. Come grow with us. This network and podcast is presented by Powered Day, or powered by powered by Poddex. Do ad reads at the end
of two fucking beer episodes.
Poddex are a unique interview question and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing podcaster looking to grow your audience, get more engagement, or you're going to want to check out poddex.com, use code IWEP Network for 10% off your order, and just go to www.poddex.com. And Abaddon Tattoo Studio, a unique professional experience nestled in the small town of Pine Grove, Pennsylvania, or Pottsville, Pennsylvania. They provide high quality tattoos and piercings in a relaxed, professional, and sterile environment. So right before we go, just to do a quick Poddex thing, I'm just going to pull up the app real quick. So the app, literally, here's some deck ideas that they have where you can just kind of, if you're podcasting and you're like, man, we want to record today, but we don't have something to talk about. They have a How Dare You app, which is that is a remember truth or dare, answer truthfully RS, or make it a drinking game. So this is find out things you never wanted to know about your guest or co-host in a How Dare You app deck where you can just flip them. So we'll just do a quick one. Do you floss your teeth every day?
No.
So there you go. You learned something about us right there. First card in the deck. They have a conspiracy theory deck, a ghost hunter, the hustle, icebreaker questions, interview decks, philosophy, what the fuck deck, or WTF, great inventions deck, true crime, movie night, techie deck, college life, black history deck, foodie, fitness and health deck, ball game, so I'm guessing that's all baseball related, hoops, basketball, globetrotter, royal rumble deck, this or that, sober living, gay pride, film buff, episode ideas, history, funny films, a dad deck, and they go on and on and on. They have something for everybody. So go check out their Poddex app. It's really, really fun. You can do some cool things, and they're always adding new ones. That's going to do it for Bang & Beers Podcast. We did it, gentlemen. We made it through the spooky month. We survived. There's no demons. No one's possessed. Maybe Andy. We're out of here. Interviews with everyday people were gone. Bang & Beers Podcast, we're gone. IWEP Network.
I wept.